Hey, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How was your week?
Busy.
Yeah.
Anyone else have a busy week?
Yeah.
We miss you so much.
We sure do.
Yeah, everybody's doing their own thing. We're all at home. Everybody's still locked down. But we miss you more and more and more, and we love you. We're praying for you, and we're hoping that you're taking this time to really draw close to each other and to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I'm actually still working full time and going to work every day. And so life is, you know, pretty, not as normal as it once was, but it's, you know, I'm getting up doing the same routine every day. So it's a little different for me. And that being said, I do want you to know that, you know, even though I'm working and a lot of you know that, I want you to know I'm available. We're available to
are.
You.
Yeah, absolutely.
Please don't feel like that we're too busy to minister to you personally. So if you need someone to talk to, you need just some individual attention, please let us know that. We would be honored to pray with you, talk with you, encourage you one-on-one. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Hey, just want to make a couple of announcements. Please remember to pray for our missionaries. And if you've made missions pledges and you're able to, you know, meet those pledges, just remember that. And the way you can give, probably the easiest way for people to give right now is if you go to our website, cfaog.org, there's some prompts in there of different ways that you can give. And so just make yourself aware of that and use those opportunities to continue to support the work and the ministry here at Cornerstone. And we thank you for that very much. Thank you for your continued support. We love you. We bless you. We are praying for you, and we just can't wait to be together again.
Amen. And as always, you can give through Tithely or PayPal, send a check. We still take cars, precious metals. Oh, I'm just kidding. But as Judy said, go to the website. You'll find all that information. And by the way, speaking of the website, our website has needed updated for so long. Mm-hmm. And so we're working very hard on it. It's going to be beautiful. You're going to love it. It's going to be streamlined and fast. And it's going to work to serve all of our needs much better. Mm-hmm. So until that is ready, which should be sometime next week, but until that is ready, be sure to check us out on Facebook at Cornerstone Fellowship Assembly of God. And then also you can see us at cfaog.org at the website. And I do want to remind you that tonight or Sunday nights, we have a Zoom meeting. It's 6:30, and Wednesday nights at 6:30 as well. These are one-hour Zoom calls. You get to see people. You get to hear them. We get to share testimonies and prayer requests with each other. And on Wednesday nights, we're actually studying the Book of Romans. It's kind of crazy to be able to do it this way, but we actually found a way to study the Book of Romans. So we encourage you to be on those calls. Now, if you've not got an invitation from us for one of those Zoom calls, you can call our office at 717-737-1903 and get information on how to join those calls. So again, just a couple of announcements, and something that never changes is that Jesus loves you deeply, and so do we. And counting the days till we can be back together and be with each other in person. But for now, enjoy the service as it's presented today. God bless you.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Cornerstone Online. Today is Sunday, April 19th, 2020. This is our call to worship, and we are so glad that you've decided to join us this morning. You know, it's sometimes people are accustomed to corporate and public worship in a physical place, to church. And I know because of the crisis that we're in, we have to keep our distance, of course. But it can be uncomfortable and it can be unfamiliar to some of us watching church through a camera or a computer. But I want to assure you this morning, and I also want to encourage you, that no matter where you worship God, whether it's online, in front of a television set, at church, at home, it's all the same. Nothing changes. God is the same always, and there's no distance between us and God. I want to finish my thought, but I wanted to read you a portion of a psalm, and that's Psalm 45. This is written by the sons of Korah, and it's entitled A Love Song. And it says, "My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and in your majesty. Hear, O daughter, and consider. Incline your ear and forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty. With joy and with gladness, they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. In place of your fathers shall be the sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. So therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever." We praise God for so many things this morning. A couple of things I just want to remind us of. Number one, first and foremost, is that God is love. He doesn't become love because we worship him, but God is love. The Apostle John tells us that he loved us first, and he gave us his son Jesus to show that love. Secondly, God is holy. And because he's holy, he is righteous and he is just. So we know that everything is under God's control. He literally holds us in the palm of his hand this morning. He knows our needs. And lastly, God is merciful and he is forgiving. That's what Easter is all about. We celebrated it last week. And because Easter happened, we still worship the Lord Jesus today for what he's done. It's so captivating to know when you have a relationship with God that you can worship him even in spite of the crisis we're going through today. So many people are going through some very, very difficult times right now. But you know, I want to encourage you this morning further by asking you not to let the crisis or your circumstances dictate your worship to God. We don't take them lightly for sure, but we know that God is always the same. He has every answer to all of our problems. He wipes away our tears. He takes away our fears, and he provides everything that we need. I want you to worship God this morning because he is a God of love. And he loves us so deeply this morning. And all he asks from us is that we give him our hearts totally this morning. Let's pray. Father, we again just bless you. We bless you because you're wonderful. You're loving. Father, you're the epitome of love. We wouldn't know what love was about unless you had defined it for us. And you show it ultimately in your son, Jesus. Father, it's a love that's unparalleled by anything in this world. And we bless you this morning. We worship you in spirit, but we worship you, Lord, because you're the same and you're wonderful. You're loving, you're forgiving, you're merciful, you're compassionate. And you're a God who wants everyone to know you. So this morning we pray, as people are watching, we pray, Father, that your spirit would touch every heart and that people be drawn to you this morning. And God, I thank you this morning that you've given us joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, we stand in the midst of your presence this morning and we praise you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Have you ever wondered, as I have, during times of stress, confusion, turmoil, sorrow, or grief, what is God thinking? What does He feel? What is going through His heart at a time like we're in right now with the pandemic that we face? What does the great heart of God feel when we are suffering? You know, the scriptures offer us a glimpse through Jesus. John said in his gospel that no one's ever seen God at any time, but that God had sent Jesus right from his heart, from his side, to show us what God thinks and what he feels, what is going through his mind. All we have to do is look at Jesus, and we can get a glimpse of the great heart of God. Recently, I was reading in my own devotional time from John 11. There's a great story about Mary and Martha and Lazarus, friends of Jesus, close friends. When Jesus was in Jerusalem, their house was only about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. So he often would dine there. He would often stay overnight with them, and they became good friends. When this story opens up, we'll see in John 11 that Jesus was about 18 miles away across the Jordan River, and presumably he's ministering, he's teaching, he's healing, he's restoring people, just as he always did. And as he's doing this, he gets a request that was sent to him from Mary. Mary said, "My brother, Lazarus, the one that you love, he's sick. He's very sick. Perhaps he had some viral infection that no one knew what it was or what the outcome would be." But Mary and Martha were very concerned for their brothers, so they sent word. You could call that prayer. There's just such a wonderful instruction on prayer in this story that I'd like to share with you over the next 2 weeks. But for today, I'd like to just jump to the end of this story where we actually see, before the happy ending, before Lazarus is raised from the dead, we'd like to see Jesus at the tomb of a loved one. You could say at the funeral of a loved one. Interestingly, when Jesus got the news that Lazarus was sick, he continued 2 more days across the Jordan. And it's an easy 2 days journey away from Mary and Martha's house. What Jesus wouldn't have known in his humanness is that on the very day that he got the request, Lazarus died. When Jesus decides it's time to go and to wake up Lazarus, he tells his disciples that Lazarus is sleeping and it's time to go wake him up. The disciples said, "Well, if he's resting, that's good." And Jesus said, "No, he's died." So in his divinity, he knew that Lazarus had died. They make the journey, and I can imagine that the journey was somewhat painful and difficult because they're going from the victory of ministry and seeing God do incredible things to a funeral. And as they arrive at the funeral, the first thing that happens is that, Martha meets him at the door and said, "Jesus, if you had only been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." In a few minutes, Jesus will meet Mary, and she says the same thing. "If you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." And of course, that's to misunderstand that, and to think that, that God is distant from us and that He's so disconnected from us that there's no way he could hear our prayer or change the circumstance. But I'm thankful that the story unfolds as it does. It's real, it's raw, and it deals with human emotion. So let me read from verse number 32 through verse 38. And just feel the emotion in this. John 11, 32 through 38. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." It's a kind of a way of saying, God, if you really cared, you would have done something a lot sooner. We'll talk more about that later. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And that phrase right there, deeply moved in his spirit, it's starting to give us a glimpse of what goes through God's heart when he looks on the world and he sees pain and sorrow, brokenness and suffering. He's deeply moved. He's not indifferent. He's deeply moved. He's troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And the reputed shortest verse in the Bible is John 11, 35. Jesus wept. When he saw where they laid Lazarus, he wept. Now, it's only two little words in English, but in the original language, it's more expressive than that. It's more likely that Jesus sobbed. He really came unglued for a few minutes. He lost it. He felt the full weight of the sorrow and the loss at his friend's funeral. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And I think it's really important to notice that if Jesus represents God's heart, perfect strangers who had no knowledge of Jesus, who he really was, they saw him, and there was something about the way he wept that caused them to say, he loved them. He truly loved them. He loved them very deeply, which is very comforting to me. And verse number 37 goes on to read, "But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" And then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. In that little portion of Scripture, we get a glimpse of the great heart of God. And I believe that when Jesus was weeping at Lazarus' tomb, or as I call it, the tears at the tomb, I believe that what he is doing is truly grieving over the loss of a friend. But there's something deeper and further reaching than even that. I believe that what is happening is that this great heart of God is somehow reflecting back. Almost like in a movie when you see the little wording across an episode that says 24 hours earlier or 2 weeks later, something. Like the great heart of God just hearkened back to the first time we read about the sorrow that God experienced. When in Noah's day, God looked at the earth and he looked at the violence and the corruption. When he looked at politicians and experts and the like and saw the wickedness, the straying away from the standard that God had set. All that God had created so beautiful and lovely, and now it was so corrupt and ruined. In that moment, God confesses, "It grieves my heart that I even made the That is a powerful, powerful statement in the Old Testament. The scripture says that the fountains of the deep were broken up and that the water came from the firmament in the sky. Rain coming down, waters coming up. And everything save Noah and his family and a few animals in an ark. Everyone was destroyed. Everyone was swept away. But behind that flood was the tears of a broken-hearted God who looked at what he had created and how it had become. And he thought, it didn't have to be this way. And as his heart was broken and he wept, the tears of God covered the earth. Likewise, I believe that Jesus' heart went back to the saying that was represented even in his own birth when Herod sought to kill all the firstborns, children. There was a prophetic word from all the way back in the Old Covenant. Rachel weeping for her children, for they were not. Children who had been slaughtered caused the great heart of God to be moved with tears as he looked at a woman who had lost her children. Likewise, Jesus understood that there were tears of the loss of the children even at his own birth, because of the fear of man and the cruelty of a dominant and corrupt king, who out of jealousy and concern for his throne slaughtered a generation of young boys. Rachel weeping for her children. It's the reflection of the tears at the tomb were the tears flowing from Rachel, and behind that, the tears of God. And then we read of Jeremiah, who's called the weeping prophet. God sent a prophet to his children in Israel, whose repetitive idolatry and cycle of repenting and feeling sorrow for their sin, and then gradually being delivered from their oppressors, and at their repentance receiving freedom, only to exploit that freedom and lose their liberties and come into slavery and under bondage again and cry out to God, that repetitive cycle over and over again. And Jeremiah is sent one more time. And every time he comes with a message from the heart of God, he comes weeping. Jeremiah is known as the weeping. I believe that the tears of Jeremiah were nothing short of the tears of a broken-hearted God who looked at the situation and thought to himself, it didn't have to be this way, but what it had become broke his heart. And he looked forward to a day when he would send his own son. As Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53 that the Messiah who would come in the name of the Lord would be acquainted with grief. He would be a man of sorrows, which is exactly what Jesus shows. So in Jesus, we see the epitome of that broken-hearted God all the way back from Noah through to Rachel, through Jeremiah, even up to the children whose lives were lost at Jesus' birth. And then Jesus himself would weep over the city, Jerusalem. And the weeping that came from his heart would be because they didn't recognize the day that God had visited them. They didn't recognize that God, whose great heart was so broken, was crying and weeping for their brokenness and looking to reestablish and reconnect with them. And there is Jesus weeping over Jerusalem because they didn't recognize that God had come to them. I believe that God is weeping over our great cities today. I believe that God is weeping over families, over races and nations. I believe that God weeps. I believe that He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And I believe that Jesus not only reflects the heart of God when He weeps over a city, and when He weeps at His friend Lazarus' tomb, I believe that Jesus reflected the heart of man as He hung on the cross and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The epitome of our situation when we're hurting and alone and grieving and filled with sorrow, the epitome of our situation is that we feel not only alone in our suffering and sorrow, but it's even as though God Himself doesn't care and as though He has rejected us. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Because Jesus not only wept and shed tears on the cross, but Jesus also shed blood. The blood of Jesus Christ that washes away the sin of the world and reestablishes relationship, cleanses and heals and restores the broken. It offers an opportunity for any prodigal to come running home to a father who looks down the road every day with tears in his eyes, hoping that today we will return to him. I believe that when Jesus shed those tears at the tomb, He was reflecting the heart of God, and we no longer need to worry or wonder what God thinks at a time like this. All we have to do is look at Jesus hanging on a cross, suspended between heaven and earth, dying so that we might be healed. And so I want to pray for you today. I want to pray that in your brokenness and your sorrow, no matter who you are, perhaps you're a healthcare worker today and you're fearful or you've seen too much death and dying. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you're grieving over the loss of finances, or you're feeling insecure in your family. Maybe you've lost a family member. Maybe your family is broken and shattered. And at this time when we should be gathering together, maybe you're scattered and separated. I want to pray for you that the Lord would bring healing to your brokenness. And if you're lost, meaning you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you haven't experienced the love of that great heart from the Father through Jesus Christ, that today you would call on His name, that you would return to Him. You would confess your sins and receive the forgiveness that He offers, that you would give your whole life to Him, to love Him and serve Him the rest of your days, as He has given His whole life to you so that you might be brought home. Would you please pray with me? Father, we thank You for this time and opportunity this season. We rejoice and we're glad because our faith informs our hearts that we're not alone and that You know and You care and You understand. You feel our pain and sorrows, and You sent us Jesus to prove and to provide a way that we can know that we are loved and to bring us back home to You. So, Father, I pray for the brokenhearted, no matter who we are. We might be well-educated. We may not have much education at all. We might be wealthy. We may not have much money at all. We might be influential, or we might have very little influence or power at all. We might be married or single. We might be divorced or broken in so many different ways. But I pray today that no matter who we are, we would hear the great heart of God calling to us to return to you, that we might know that you're a Father who loves us, and you sent us Jesus to make the way and to prove it. So I pray in Jesus' name for the healing of families, nations, communities, bodies, industry, business, schools, and churches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Are you hurting, broken, sick, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar. The Father's arms. Savior, isn't he one? tell the world of the treasure you found.